You will remember, if you were with us last week, that last week we looked at the importance of overcoming the spirit of division that is so widespread in people's lives today. And we learned that as followers of Jesus, we are concerned about unity more than diversity, more than division. We are called as followers to be people of unity, and that our unity is not based on our politics. It isn't based on our views of social issues. It isn't based on whether we agree or disagree together on all the latest things that are at the forefront of our attention. According to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, our unity is based on something much deeper than all of that. It is based on our common faith experience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, this is what we looked at last week. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That was a very important message for us last week, that nothing should take priority over our common faith in Christ, that our faith in Christ above anything else is what should identify who we are. When somebody looks at you, they shouldn't think that you are a this or you are a that, different ends of the political spectrum, or you are a person who is for this or a person who is for that. Those are not what should be the first thing that people think of. The thing that draws us together, that makes us one, is our common experience in Christ. People should look at you, someone should look at me, and say, there is a follower of Christ. And that is what holds us together. That is what should identify who we are. This morning, I'd like for us to look at the next couple of verses in Philippians and see the practical side of building unity. If the goal is unity in Christ, the question is, how do we get there? What builds it or what destroys it? And I believe we get the answer to those questions in these next two verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where Paul continues and he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Powerful words there from Paul to us, to the church. And some key words stand out, and I think they stood out for you. Selfish ambition being one of them, humility, serving others. Ambition. There's a fine line between ambition and selfish ambition. Ambition is a good thing. We all need ambition. It's what gets us up in the morning, isn't it? There are things to do. There are places to go. There are challenges to overcome. There are victories to be won. There is work to be done. We want to do well. We want to get ahead. We want to accomplish. We want to succeed. These are all reasonable and good things. It is part of ambition. We need to have ambition. All of that is what makes us, I believe, humans. God created us with a creative nature. And I believe with that comes a sense of ambition. We want to do, we need to do, we want to create, we want to move ahead, we want to do things, we want to accomplish. We need ambition. You only need to look at someone who has lost their ambition for whatever reason to know how important ambition is. Ambition is not the problem. The problem is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition wants to put ourselves ahead of everyone else. We want to be the first one on the top, maybe the only one on the top. Selfish ambition looks exclusively at my own, at one's own interests. It doesn't care about how others are doing, and in fact, in some cases, even steps on others in order to get ahead oneself. Selfish ambition is deadly to a community. Selfish ambition is just the opposite of what Jesus lived and taught. And it's so sinister. It creeps in there when we're not even aware of it. It's so easy to go in that direction. Even good people who have good intentions and a heart for the Lord and want to do things right, it's easy for them to fall into selfish ambition. A powerful example of that is seen in an event not long before Jesus was crucified. Jesus has just announced to his closest people that he is going to be condemned to death. He will be mocked, he will be spit upon, he will be flogged, he will be killed. And how do James and John respond? Take a look there. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 37. Then James and John said, the sons of Zebedee came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now remember the context that this is in, I just told you about. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. There you go. James and John, what are they looking for? Jesus is just pouring out his heart to them. He's about to be crucified. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be ridiculed. And what are James and John asking for? They're asking for positions of power and prestige. They want to be at the right and the left. They want to be at the top. They want to be at the head table. They want the spotlight on them. It's no wonder, verse 41 goes on to say, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Yeah, it's hard not to. I could understand that. You see, selfish ambition never builds community. It only tears it down. When we are looking out for number one, when that is the priority, we're never going to be able to build others up. And so selfish ambition is closely tied to vain conceit. It's there in the same sentence. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know, that look at me attitude. Look at how good I am attitude. In essence, those are the attitudes that tear community apart instead of building others up. You see, we cannot have community. We cannot build community when it's all about me. Look at how great I am. Look at what I can do. I'm going to get to the top. Wow. And as I said, well-meaning people who you would have thought would know better succumb to that same temptation. Well, the opposite of that, of vain conceit in particular, is humility. So Paul says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Whereas selfish ambition and vain conceit put ourselves at the top, in humility, what we're doing is we're putting others ahead of ourselves. You see, humility is not so much putting myself down, telling myself, oh, I'm no good, I'm just a worm, I'm just nothing. Humility is not so much saying, I have no value, I won't amount to anything, I can't do anything. Humility, I believe, is saying, you can do it. I want the best for you. I want to build you up. You're going to make it. You have value. Humility is building the other person up even before yourself. It puts the focus on the other. And that's hard to do at times. We're not naturally inclined to do that. But that's why humility is such a vital part in building community. When we build somebody else up, we're making it better for everyone, including ourselves. You might have heard this story. I read it again this week about a farmer who grew excellent quality corn. Every year he won the award for the best grown corn. One year a newspaper reporter interviewed him. Remember what newspapers are, by the way? You know, they're the paper things that come in stacks. You fold them, they're pages. You know, just in case. Younger people, that's what newspapers are, you know. One day a newspaper reporter interviewed him and learned something about the farmer. The reporter had discovered that the farmer actually shared his best seed corn with his neighbors. So the reporter had to ask, how can you afford to share your best seed corn with your neighbors when they are entering a corn competition against you each year? Well, sir, said the farmer, do you not know? The wind picks up pollen from the ripening corn and swirls it from field to field. If my neighbors grow inferior corn, cross-pollination will steadily degrade the quality of my own corn. If I'm to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors grow good corn as well. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful example of building community, helping others. You see, humility is not me growing poor quality corn so that my neighbor doesn't look bad. Humility is helping my neighbor also grow good corn. And by doing so, we are all better off together. Building community is taking the focus off myself and putting it on the whole. Your success does not diminish my value. In humility, I want you to be the best, to do the best that you can. And if you get ahead of me, that's wonderful. We're not in a competition. And really, it's because life isn't a competition that we can adhere to the teaching here in Philippians chapter 2, and in fact, verse 4, which says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. There it is again, building community, taking the focus off of myself and putting it on the overall picture. And I think of that, when I think of that verse, I think of how we are called as a church to serve. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others, building others up according to their needs. And again, I understand it's natural to put ourselves first, to think about you. Maybe it's survival. But in everything I read, and in the life that Jesus lived, it was all about building others up. Putting others first. Thinking about their needs. Loving one another. It's about building community instead of building self. And truth is, one of the main purposes of the church is to build community. We come together for various reasons. We worship together, of course. We teach, we learn, we reach out, we care. But just as important, and maybe even more important, we are called to serve. To serve. To look after the needs of others. Do not look after only your own interests, but also the interests of others. We are here to serve. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "And it was he, the Lord, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ." It seems to me that serving others is a sign of spiritual maturity. This is why the Thursday night study group that has been meeting and finishes this week, I believe, has been involved as they can in serving others. This is why when Naomi led junior youth, she had a service night once in a while. Our youth group, the same. Our young adults, the same. This is why so many of you, often behind the scenes, go out of your way to look after, as Paul says, not only your own interests, but the interests of others. And I praise God for that. I really do. I thank God that we are part of a church that takes this verse seriously. Do not think only of your own interests, but the interests of others. That is how we build community. Putting aside selfishness, being humble, and serving one another. The way to unity that we focused on last week is through building community. And I guess if I was a linguistic person, I might say that there is unity in community. Unity is the concept. Community is the means. In the end, building community is not something that happens automatically. It has to be intentional. And it's especially difficult these days during the pandemic to build community. It's harder, but we must find creative ways to do that. Sometimes it's as simple as a phone call or a card or a message or being willing to pick something up for somebody, seeing how they're doing. Perhaps today, more than ever, we, as God's people, have the opportunity to show what it means to build community, which is something that so many are longing for. Perhaps today, more than ever, the words of Paul to the Philippians is the word for us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of us should look not only to our own interests, but also the interests of others. Friends, we have an opportunity before us that is so clear and powerful. This is how the world will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, by living out the teachings here in Philippians. I believe there's a hunger out there for this sort of authentic Christian living. And yes, it comes at a cost. I need to be willing to lay myself down in order to lift others up. We have a good precedent for this in Acts chapter 2, the early church. Sometime take a look and read Acts chapter 2, particularly verses 42 to 47. These people knew how to build community. They were devoted to it. And as a result, the Lord blessed them daily. May it be so for us. I'd like to leave you with the question to consider. In what ways can I be involved in building community? What opportunities are there for us to engage in? Remembering that whatever we do for the least of these, we do it unto Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you again this morning, and Father God, we want to thank you that you are the one who showed us what it means to lay down ourselves and our wants and our desires in order to build others up, in order to care for others. And I pray, Father God, that as followers of Christ, that we would be men and women and youth and children who would be devoted to building community in our lives and in this place, Lord God, and in our community at large. Lord, there are many people today, perhaps more than ever, who seem to be living in isolation, who are alone, who are feeling empty. And I pray, Father God, that we would be a voice of community for those who are in need today. Lord, bless us, guide us, use us for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.